You're listening to Scarves Around the Funnel, brought to you in association with Forest Hepburn and McDonald's Signs.
Getting noticed isn't always easy, because there's so much noise.
But at Forest Hepburn and McDonald's, we make it easy. With standout signs, business cards, shop fronts, banners, leaflets, vehicle graphics, the lot. Showcasing your products, advertising your brand, and getting business noticed. So, what can we do for you? Forest Hepburn and McDonald's, creative sign and print solutions since the 1950s. Visit fhmcdsigns.co.uk.
To Andy Kirk, through ball to Mark De Vries, a chance for Haas, De Vries, round the keeper, and into the net! Mark De Vries, 2-2!
Hello and welcome to Scarves Around the Funnel, the podcast where our dedication to Heart of Midlothian is worn as a badge of honour. I am Laurie Dunsire, joined by a man who's probably got more badges than a Boy Scout, Mark Donaldson.
Hello. Back from Tampa. I didn't want to say to Robbie Nielsen after he was 2-0 up in his first game and then let the other team back in to draw 2-2 and remind him of a certain game at Tynecastle against Hibernian, because he probably would have kicked me out of his apartment. But a good trip down. Still a little bit raw from what happened. Let's just say when Ross County Hearts was on, it wasn't maybe ideal to watch that in front of them, so we went for a walk instead. 12 fucking miles later, to ensure that we weren't seeing any of it, we returned back. Yes, hello, and well done on last week. Enjoyed the episode with Ailey. How are you all?
I'm good. We're also joined by a man who may have to turn his podcasting badge in if we actually provoke him to discuss anything to do with badges, which is why I keep mentioning the word badge. It's Scott McIntosh.
Evening, fellas. Yeah, I'm going to keep my nose clean when it comes to that particular topic.
No, you're not.
I'm not going to bite.
You're not going to bite in the intro. We'll get you. We will.
When you least expect it.
Yes.
Badgegate will raise its crubby face. We're also joined with a full compliment this week. Joined by someone who's less of a badge kisser, more of a bench warmer, Mr. Ryan McGowan.
Wow.
I was waiting for you to say how many badges have you got or something along those lines. But yes.
You've had the opportunity to kiss a lot more badges than any of us.
That's,
did you ever kiss a badge true. When you scored a goal?
No, I don't think I have.
You ever kissed a Hearts badge, son?
I don't think I did.
Oh.
Right. As you can tell, when I score, I don't exactly have much thought process behind what I'm going to do. So I think it'd be weird.
Kisses badge search in Google.
No, there's definitely not.
What about Hen and Janye or something like that? Do you not kiss that badge?
Nah, I didn't actually.
Is it not the team you always wanted to play for and had posters on your wall of whoever played? No, okay.
No.
I'm gonna look back through all your goals, so I'm gonna spend
take a couple minutes.
I'm determined to find this. There you go. Homework for next week. If you can find evidence of Ryan McGowan kissing the badge of any badge, let us know.
I've 100% not. I would know. Well, I would remember.
Tell me your boy hasn't kissed the Hibs badge and kind of write up your dad.
Nah.
You better not.
Scott?
He knows better.
Scott, you're in the same boat.
Yeah, he has.
Just to wind you up.
I don't know. Maybe.
Did it work?
Nah. Look, as long as he's not Celtic or Rangers, that's always been the deal for me.
But he's Hibs.
That's fine.
It's not... Scott!
We've got an alleged 7,000 waiting list. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's all good. We don't need a
Harry's at that age where he's, I'm not very, well, I'm kind of cool, but kind of not. So when I say, like, oh, I used to play for Hearts, he's a bit like, no, you didn't. You played for St. Johnson, mate. Settle down. I was like, no, like, I did.
Did you get your Betamax videos out? Remember these games I scored once?
I think I sent it into you. I found my Scottish Cup final shirt when I was up in the attic. So I took a photo. Yeah, I know. I need to get it sorted. And I brought it down so to show Harry. And he's like, you know, you can just buy them. I was like, oh, he's missing the point here, buddy. I'm trying to show you. Look, there's a photo.
He's like, honestly, I had like a under 14 Montrose, you played in this competition trophy up on display. You've got a Scottish Cup winning shirt and it's just up in the attic.
Yeah, no, the plan is once I get my little games room done, going to get some of the good strips that I've got and hang them all up and make it.
You might need to flog them if you don't get a new contract.
Also true. I could be selling them to somebody.
No, don't do that. Don't do that.
What are we starting the bidding at?
For what?
Your jerseys, your old shirts, the important ones.
Ah, no, I don't. I really don't think I'd sell any.
I hope not. Tell me you never sell your Scottish Cup winners jersey. Please tell me. Good.
No. Maybe sell one of my Aussie ones.
He very kindly donated one of his Australian shirts, and we did a Big Hearts event recently. Took it along.
Yes. Yeah. I do donated do that. I do that. I'm always
the money for charity.
Yeah, I always get a little bit. I don't like it because you get very not nervous, but see when you're actually at those things, I'd rather not be there.
Well, in case no one bids on it.
Yeah, just like people, like they're like starting off, you know, say £70, and you're just looking around, and people are looking at you, being like,
no one's bidding.
Yeah, I'm not paying £70 for that.
Right, just a different voice.
Yeah, just slightly put my hand up to try and get it up to a reasonable price.
How many McGowan jerseys were there in the 2012 Scottish Cup final? Were there one for each half? Were there more than two? Or?
I'm not sure, you know.
Was the one that you kept the one that you finished with when you lifted the cup?
Yeah, I only wore one that day. I don't like swapping. Wearing two. I always
so there's a match prepared, which you could have worn in the second half if you'd chosen, but you didn't because you only wore the one. So somewhere, someone has either got it or you've got it.
Yeah, I think. Do you know what I actually do? I think I gave one to, bless her, wee Carol. I think I gave one to Carol.
That's so sweet.
So I think she might have the other, but I'm not 100% sure. I know for a long time she did have it. But
that's kind of poignant this week, is it not?
Yes. Yes, it is. Bless her. So any of you that don't know, my Diggs lady, Carol Cooper, she passed away last week. So very, very sad time. So thinking of Claire Cowan, who most Hearts fans would probably know of, her and her two kids and the grandson and everyone connected to it. So, funerals next week, which will be very, very sad, but one that get to hopefully celebrate her life and everything that she'd done, which was, you know, pretty special. She's a very, very special lady to me.
No, as well said. It was on Kickback as well. It was a whole thread about her. And obviously her sad passing and the fact that obviously she was not just such a big Hearts fan, but she was involved in the helping the likes of yourself, Ryan, and obviously her and Claire had been around the club for so long. Claire Cowan still is. So I think it was a nice tribute in the thread. I didn't know her personally, but obviously from hearing you talking about her and reading what other people said, she was obviously very well loved and it was a passionate jambo and a very popular person around people at the club. And yeah, condolences to Claire and the family. That was some sad news over the weekend. In terms of this week's episode, I thought before we crack on, I just thought we might want to mention Big Hearts Day this week as well. I know we'll talk about the Kilmarnock game at the end, but we'll kind of talk about the football. But it is the 8th big Hearts Day celebration on Saturday when Hearts play Kilmarnock. Of course, Big Hearts, the official charity of the club, doing some fantastic work around Gorgie Dalry and further afield. They're aiming to raise £30,000 this week. So that would be a fantastic figure if they could reach there. There will be a unique strip, which I actually don't know anything about at this point. I'll be very interested to see what it looks like. So it'll be a unique strip that we worn on Saturday. It won't be revealed until Friday this week. All 11 match day mascots will be from Big Hearts programmes. So a really exciting opportunity for them. And staff and volunteers for Big Hearts will be present on the plaza, concourses, within hospitality suites, everywhere, collecting donations as well. All the details will be on social media and available on the day, but you can text Big Hearts, all one word, all capitals, Big Hearts, to 70085 to donate £5. You can do that now or obviously at the weekend when we get there. And there'll be content shown on social media throughout the week. There'll be stuff available on the day. We'll do some stuff on Hearts TV, and there'll be free face painters available if you're bringing your kids along to the game. So it should be a nice day. And I think, Scott, it's one of these which I think really reinforces the importance of football club and our link with Big Hearts and what it means in the community, doesn't it? When we have this day of celebration.
Yeah, I think it's quite important, you know, the work that they do. I think it's good for them to be sort of highlighted during particular fixtures. Everyone knows all the good work that they do, but, you know, Hearts, especially since Ad Burgess came in, you know, a decade ago now, there's always been a drive to ensure that we're more of a community club than maybe we once were. And Big Hearts obviously play a huge part in that. And you can see with the amount of people that are sort of promoting the drive for Saturday, you know, there's a lot of people that are very invested in it, engaged in it. And you see that with the amounts of money that they bring in and all the good work that they do as well. And, you know, hopefully they'll make another good bit of money on Saturday.
Yeah, hopefully everyone will be digging deep. And yeah, keep an eye on all the socials for that. We've shared some information as well on our Twitter feed, but you can go and visit at Big Hearts for more information. On this week's episode of the podcast, we're going to talk internationals. It's been international weekend, so we'll talk about some of the Hearts players who were involved for their countries. And we are going to talk about some of the business Hearts have carried out since we were last on, in terms of two new signings have been agreed and one existing player has been made permanent. We'll talk about those, and we will look ahead to the Kilmarnock game coming up this weekend. You're listening to Scarves Around the Funnel, sponsored by Forest Hepburn and McDonald Signs, who have been offering creative sign and print solutions since the 1950s. International weekend. Let's start close to home with Scotland. Three Hearts players away with the national team. Obviously, the two goalkeepers, Craig Gordon and Xander Clark, as well as our top scorer, Lawrence Shankland. Netherlands first up, away from home, and then a home match against Northern Ireland. Mark, let's talk Scotland first up. I think because of Lawrence Shankland's call-up and a lot of eyes on him, I think a lot more interest was on this game, even from Hearts fans who aren't always as interested with Scotland games. What did you make of this? We'll start with the Netherlands game. So Shankland given a surprise start by many. What did you make of that decision and how he got on?
Well, he played all right. Yeah, I thought he linked play. I thought he was more involved against the harder team in the Netherlands than Lyndon Dykes was against Northern Ireland. It's going to be judged on the chance that he had, and he missed it. But I don't think it was any surprise that he was creating, or he was involved in both the creation and the attempts. And we created more when he was on the field, both against the Netherlands and against Northern Ireland. He had a couple of chances, and he was only on the field for just over 10 minutes. So I don't know if I'm starting him against Germany. I also found it a bit strange. I thought it would have been the other way around, that Shankland would have maybe played against Northern Ireland and come off the bench against the Netherlands. But I thought he was fine. I mean, we need a striker. That's the bottom line. Is Shankland international class? If he was, then, well, he's international class. I don't think there's any doubt about that. You would play him without any concerns. Is he top international class? No, he's not, because he wouldn't be at Hearts if he was. But he's on the plane. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Whether or not he starts, not sure. If he'd scored that goal in the Netherlands, the narrative would have been very different.
I thought Tom English put quite a good article out about this. I saw he got some mixed reactions from Hearts fans, but I think a lot of people were taken by the kind of headline rather than the article. But he was kind of highlighting the fact that, in fact, it was almost like a role reversal for Shankland in this game, in terms of so many people, usually outside of Hearts, saying all he can do is score goals. And one of the bits that Tom English said was, the Hearts captain had spent his night doing the very things that some thought were potential weaknesses, working the channels, holding the line and bringing others into the game. And then he goes on to say, but then when the big chance came, the thing that they thought that he would be able to do in his sleep, he managed to hit the bar. Scott, I don't know how you feel, but I thought Shankland was fine. I watched his 70 minutes that he had in the Netherlands game, and a few people I know who aren't Hearts fans were quite positive and said, I didn't see those things about him. It does come down to that big chance in many ways, doesn't it? That's the thing, it's such small margins. But I think Steve Clark said it as well. He actually showed he does have more to his game, even if in the end the thing that everyone says is all he can do was the thing that he failed at.
Yeah, I thought he'd done reasonably well. I think this was actually the right fixture to play him in, because ultimately Steve Clark needed to know that he could offer something in these types of scenarios. It would have been easy to have thrown him on and started him in the Ireland game, but really, in essence, I think Steve Clark knows what he's going to get out of Lauren Shankland in those types of fixtures. So I do think it made sense to try him out in the Holland game. I thought he'd done pretty well, and to be fair, he linked the game up, but when the opportunity arose, he still found himself, in between the posts. So he got his chance by being in the right position. There was a couple of opportunities in the first half where, there was a couple of overhit crosses, but you still felt that he was trying to make a bit of space in between the two centre halves, which is more than I can say about Dykes and Adams from what I've seen of them. So a lot of the chat about Dykes and Adams is how they bring others into the game. And, you can't really argue that when you see that, we've got a 75% win ratio in the last 20 competitive matches. So it has worked, but I do think we need to have something a little bit different. And Mark's right. Is Lauren Shankland international class to the degree that you would want him to be your number one guy for every fixture? I would say no. I think it would be disingenuous of me to say yes when I'm pressed about whether he could go down south, and I talk about things like, lacking a yard pace, maybe not running the channels, etc. So I do think that there is a valid argument to say that he's not to the level that he probably needs to be. But then I do think, in relative terms, I do think he's an improvement on Dykes and Adams in a lot of ways. So I do think he's pushed himself to the top of the pecking order, at least in my eyes. Do I think Steve Clark would agree with that? Possibly not, but we've still got another couple of friendlies to go between now and June, so you don't know what will happen.
Start against Gibraltar. That's...
Well, that's the thing, eh? I mean, if he gets a start against Gibraltar, then that's a good opportunity for him to sort of raise his stock a little bit. But yeah, I actually think it worked out pretty well. I'm not being overly involved last night, because I think that team got a little bit of a... I thought that the disappointment to last night's result was a little bit overstated. I do think people are getting their knickers in a twist a little bit regarding that. And I think it probably didn't do Shankland too much harm to actually be out of that picture too much. I actually think Scotland's biggest problem is how they replace Aaron Hickey and potentially Andy Robertson if they're both not going to be there. I think they've got bigger problems at the back than up front, but everyone, I think because there's been so much talk about Shankland, everyone wanted to talk about that last Friday. I think there's been a lot of Hibs fans that have had to sit on their hands for two years because they got it horribly wrong when he signed for Hearts, and now they're trying to jump on that half chance that they've had to maybe have a little bit of a sort of joke or a bit of banter about him. But all in all, thought he'd done really well, and he'll definitely be on that plane. Whether he starts is another matter.
Ryan, you've seen him up close. Well, you were trying to get close. Maybe didn't get close enough.
As close as you could.
You've seen what he can. I think when we spoke about him last season, especially, I think it's you were almost like we were when I think, you know, me, I'll admit myself, when we signed him, I didn't appreciate his all-round game as much until I saw him obviously week in, week out for Hearts. He does have a lot to his game, doesn't he? I think people underestimate his capabilities, especially when they don't watch him kind of for full 90 minutes.
Yeah, I think strikers is a funny one because there's always two types of strikers. There's one that just scores goals and that's what he gets thrown at, and then there's another one that gets where he does everything else but doesn't score a goal. Isn't it? That's always kind of the two ones, especially in Scotland. You don't really get the all-round package. Very rarely do you get that. And I think Shanklin falls into that bracket of people will pick on his negatives quicker than in what he actually does bring to the team. And I think that whole, it's just he scores goals is it's probably an assessment that's just an easy one to get thrown at him when, you know, obviously Hearts fans watch him week in, week out, and now, you know, Scotland fans have seen him for a full game. He brings a lot more than just scoring goals. It's his overall. He's very clever with the way that he can take the ball in. I didn't watch all of the game against Netherlands, but you could just see even there was a couple of times the ball came up to him and he's very clever in like winning the, you know, winning a foul, getting the team up the pitch. And that's important at international level. And I think, you know, Steve Clark was right in what he said in terms of, yes, he didn't, you know, score that chance that 9 times out of 10 he would, but his overall game plan or his overall performance was enough to suggest that he can do a job. And if he was to get that chance again, he probably would score it. And yeah, like what Scott said, I think there's no question mark. So he would definitely be on that plane for the Euros. Will he start? I'm not too sure, but I think he's an unbelievable option to have, you know, coming off the bench.
I think he's the best option we have coming off the bench, Laurie.
Yeah. I mean, if you need a goal, then someone who's scoring 30-odd goals, possibly more than that by the time the Euros come around, then it's the ideal person, isn't it?
You can't pick your team for the third game before you've even played the first game. And how many players have played their way into games 2 and 3 in the group stages of major competitions because they've come off the bench and made an impact in game one? Ryan knows. Ryan's played at a World Cup. Am I right in saying, Ryan, that had it not been for a couple of injuries, that you might not have started that game that you crossed for Tim Cahill to score that wonderful goal? So you need a bit of good fortune as well, don't you?
100%. You know, I think most of it, when it becomes a sort of international squad game as such, there's going to be, you need different types of players in your squad, first and foremost. And then, like that, there's injuries, suspensions. You know, if he comes on in the first game, for example, and does well, scores a goal, then he's probably going to start the next game. So Steve Clark realizes that if they want to go far in the tournament, which I'm sure they have, you know, those sort of ambitions, he's going to need players outside of his sort of first starting 11 because, you know, there could be an injury. Someone could go down, what, a week before the first game of the tournament. And then what are you going to do? You know, you've not tried anyone. I think I was speaking to Laurie today. So even the goalie situation is a strange one. You know, to not have tried any other ones. Yeah. To take 4 keepers to a tournament and then not play them in the friendly is a strange one. But, you know, he's in a much better position to make those judgment calls than us clowns talking about it on a podcast.
Well, we can still talk about it, though. I mean, I don't think anyone thought he was going to use 4 keepers. But
you use more than one.
What's the point in having 2 friendlies and playing the keeper that I think everyone knows that Angus Gunn has got that number one spot. It's unlikely he's going to lose that. But, you know, Angus Gunn could get injured. Like, what benefit did you have to playing him again in the Northern Ireland game?
What if he chucked in a couple of goals last night? Where does that leave you? I mean, he's conceded 5 goals in 2 games. And you can't bemoan the fact that Craig Gordon's not getting enough game time for Hearts and it's been difficult to see much of him. You've got the perfect opportunity to watch him against either the Netherlands or Northern Ireland, and you don't take it. So
even then, it's not even necessarily biased, and I wanted Craig Gordon to get a chance. But even then, well, Clark, surely at least play him if he's your current second choice. Like, but to play none of them apart from Gunn, it just seemed like a waste of that opportunity, because all you've got now is what the Gibraltar game is going to be. You could play Craig Gordon in that, and he could just sit down in the goals and get a cigar out. I mean, he's not going
to. That's the week before. I'm trying to think here, because going back, various teams, various countries, I don't know when the date is, the kind of cutoff point for you have to name your squad for the Euros. I would be surprised if it's after, because we play, what, Gibraltar and Finland? I think Finland's the last game, maybe on the 7th, I think I'm right in saying. I think the squad will have to be announced maybe by first couple of days in June. So the squad that is involved against Gibraltar and Finland will be the squad that's going to the Euros, unless I'm mistaken. I don't think you name your squad on the 8th after Finland. That would be
less than a week. Squad has to be named by June the 8th.
But by June 8th, that's interesting.
You'll probably have a squad of about 26 for the 2 friendlies, and then it'll be a case of 2 or 3 getting cut for that.
This was just a Sky thing talking about England, and it said, players have a chance. England's final 23 player squad has to be confirmed by Sunday, June the 8th. So I assume that'll just be they all have to be.
Wow. Yeah, a lot of the time they have to submit a number, I guess, of players that are available. So say, for the World Cup squads and that, it would be a squad of 80 or so players, well, 30 players maybe. And then from there, you can then select your whatever. It used to be 23, didn't it?
I think it's,
yeah, sometimes it's a bit more. But you couldn't pick any from outside of that 30 as such.
You've got that initial pool, yeah.
Yeah, and then outside of that pool, you can't then pick that. So they'll probably take, for those games, maybe 30 players or so. And then from there, work it out after that.
Do we read anything into good the chance. Fact that Craig Gordon wore or had a number 24 on his back, Liam Kelly had the number 12, and Xander Clark had the number 21 on his back, knowing that there's only 23 split? You're not reading anything into that?
Okay. No.
Good.
Anyway, we'll move on from Scotland because I want to.
You hate Scotland. You hate international.
No, I don't. I'm
if Shankland had to come on last night, you wouldn't. But you're both haters.
I'm not.
Ryan's representing his country at a World Cup.
You're using the word. I have not been as I've been. I've been a couple of Scotland games in recent years. I don't get.
I've been to an athletics meeting. It doesn't make me a bloody 100-meter runner.
I think hate, you're using the word hate. I'm not as bothered.
You go back through our messages and type it. If you're looking for Gowser kissing badges, I wonder. Tell me what. You didn't tune in last night until you were told that Shankland.
I admit, I did not put the Northern Ireland game on until you told me Shankland came on because I didn't. I mean, but international friendlies, even if you're really into international football, I mean, watching friendlies, it's still it's a fresh
thing, though. I mean, we all know what Ryan Christie and Armstrong and that can offer international football. Why is Lewis Ferguson not getting a start?
Yeah, I wonder about that as well.
It's not just the Shankland stuff or the goalkeeper stuff. It's like just some of the decision making. You just think Lewis Ferguson's in the form of his life.
He's trying to get us away from Scotland and we keep going by. You want to talk about badges, Scotty?
Australia. Australia. We've got a former Australian international. Although we don't have to say
former. We're going to talk about the Lebanon games.
Still available. Well, I was going to mention.
Still available for selection.
Still available, so I won't say former. Australian international who's currently in the team. But Australia beat Lebanon 2-0 and then 5-0. And Kai Rolls scored.
Good. Yeah.
His first Aussie goal. What did you make of these games? I don't know how much you can read into games against Lebanon, but he played left back. again? Is that his role now internationally?
Yes and no. I think, again, that was probably maybe looking forward to the next qualification phase when you play against the sort of stronger teams. Graham Arnold always kind of likes either a three or a four at the back, but if it is a four at the back, sometimes it's a lot more, you know, the four proper defenders and then lets everybody else kind of get on with it. So I think that's probably the reasoning behind him playing left back in the first game. Second game, he was left of in a back three.
I noticed two different... So he was left in a back three because I saw two different formations when I was looking at articles about this. I didn't see any of the second game, but I saw he was down his left centre back on some of the graphics, but then like the Guardian coverage called it a back four. So it was a back three in the second game.
Yeah, yeah. It may have changed throughout the game. I didn't see all of it, but they definitely started off with wing backs. And then Atkinson played 90 minutes in the first game and done well. And then he didn't play in the second game. So
no.
Overall, I think the Aussie boys will come back pretty good. Good for roles. You know, he is a bit of a confidence player as such. So, you know, going away, getting two full games, getting a goal, two clean sheets, you know, he should come back full of confidence after that.
High goals. Get that. What a finish as well. Just effortless with that swing of the left boot in off the post.
You ever come close to scoring for Australia, Gouser?
No. Not even remotely close, I don't think. I had a snapshot once in a game, but it was one of those, like, it was terrible. You know when the crowd, like, laughs? It was one of those ones.
You could have easily lied there. We would have never been off. You said, oh, I had this cracking shot in one of those games that just flew inches by from 30 yards, hit it really sweet.
I used to hate it because I was always back for corners.
Never put you up for corners?
No, and I hated it. It just felt like, especially in international football, there's always like so many times you get caught on the counter from a corner. I'm just like, oh my God, this is... I hated when we got a corner because I'm like, oh no, this is a chance for... Yeah, like the goalie's going to boot the ball up and it's going to go 400 metres up in the air and I'll just be standing under it trying to header it and I'll miss the header and the boy will run through and score and then that's me finished international football. That was always my fear.
Oh dear.
Thanks, Ange, for putting me back for corners.
Big Ange. Well, talking of scoring at international level, another Hearts player was on the score sheet and it was Dexter Lembekisa playing for Jamaica. Oof. Played a full game against USA as they lost, but then against Panama, he scored the winner, and it was a wonderful strike, wasn't it? Mm. Cutting in from the right, little step over, left peg, top corner.
He's our new Josh Ginelli.
Yeah.
That's who he is. By the way, they came really close to beating the United States as well, and the US went on to beat Mexico in the final, but... Yeah, they were so close but couldn't see it out and ended up losing an extra time. But that was a belter of a goal. It was further out,
isn't it?
Oh, wow.
If you've not seen it, look it up because it was a cracker.
I don't know if it'll be this week or another week when we look at kind of Hart's potential starting 11 for the new season, but as a right back option. Do we know yet? I mean, Ryan's just said that he's played 90 in the first game. It's just it's X or Y, isn't it? There's no real standout. And it's just like, whoever. Is that where we are right now with our right-back position, Lembekisa and Atkinson?
Basically, if we want to play a four, I don't think we've got... I don't think either of them have proven to be great options consistently. So it's where we're
at. Uganda's finest at right-back.
Yeah, well, look at that. Seamlessly moving us on to Uganda. We'll gloss over their first game because Toby Sibbick wasn't involved and they got absolutely pumped. But he made his Ugandan debut on Tuesday against Ghana and he played alongside Motherwell's Bevis Mugabe at centre-back up against Hibs goalkeeper Jojo Wallacott. I loved that link, I have to say, when I noticed it. Uganda against Ghana, and you've got Hearts Motherwell players partnered at centre back up against the Hibs player and goals for the opposition. I'm sure. Any other links like that you can think of? Scott, you're probably the man who would...
You got more excited than that, but than any of us, did you not? On that, wow.
I did. I love a little random link like that.
Crickets.
Nah, not Hearts and... When was the last time, if ever, a Hearts and a Hibs player came up against each other in an international game between two African nations? Would it ever have happened?
If there's one man that would know, we have him right here, Scott McIntosh.
Oh, I doubt it. I doubt that's ever Scott's happened. Like... No, I doubt it's ever happened. I'm trying to think of who... Like, we've had Arnold Zoom, we've had like Dave, but there wouldn't have been any Hibs. I mean, they had Zamama and Benji around about the same time.
Right, but so nah. Homework after this, Ryan McGowan kissing the badge, Hearts and Hibs players playing for African nations up against each other. He's going to have a lot of homework, a lot of schoolwork for this one. But good to see him get. He played the first half in that game, so first cap. So well done to Toby on that one. And won't go into the youth level games for this. We'll just quickly mention Costa Rica because Kenneth Vargas came off the bench late on in a win against Honduras. He was unused sub in a game against Argentina, so I don't care about that one. But Costa Rica qualify for the Copa America. That's impressive, isn't it? Could have Kenny V over playing in the Copa America.
Well, that's next year. He's on a 5-year deal. Top scorer next year for Costa Rica and a surprise Greece-like Euro 2004 victory. And we sell him for billions of Ugandan dollars. Yep, it's all works out.
5 more years. Ryan McGowan, you must be delighted that your favourite Hearts player is tied down.
I don't mind him. I only don't like him because obviously...
You've forgiven him.
He dived, and I got him back for that one. I almost got myself sent off. But no, I think it's a good bit of business from Hearts. I think we'll obviously get onto that coming up. I think they've done good business this sort of transfer window.
Yeah, look at that. Look at that.
You could so learn, smooth, wasn't it?
You could learn from him there, Mark, because he said, I think we'll get onto that a little bit later on. Didn't just pile in and say, yeah, let's talk about the contract. I queued up for him and he still says, no, that's the next section. So thank you for that.
That's okay.
McGowan. That'll give us the opportunity. What? Oh, he's going to jump in.
I'm just going to chuck a spanner in the works. I was thinking what you can do in 5 years because Kevin Vargas
There needs to be a gap here.
No, there doesn't need to be. You can put a gap in a minute. You can put a gap in a minute. No, if you keep talking, don't cut me out. Listen, it's five. What can you do in 5 years? You can play for the following clubs: Shandong, Lunen, Taishan, Dundee United, Henan Jiangyi, Guangzhou Jisheng, Al Sharjah, Bradford City, Dundee, and Sydney.
That wasn't in a 5-year spell, surely.
It was 2014 to 2019. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You played for 8 teams in 5 years, Gowser.
Moving on.
Pretty impressive, to be honest.
I think he's not cutting this out. Just play your sting now.
Forrest Hepburn and MacDonald have been making creative sign and print solutions since the 1950s. For more, visit fhmcdsigns.co.uk.
Okay, let's talk Hearts business since we almost smoothly got onto it until Mark ruined the segue. Right, so it's been a busy sort of last few days to a week or so over the international break. Hearts announcing two deals. Well, I say Hearts announcing. So deals were announced, not officially by Hearts, I should say. Nothing has been officially announced by Heart of Midlothian Football Club. Just in case anyone asks me when I get to the weekend and say, you said that we've officially confirmed this. Anyway, two pre-contracts. Blair Spittle from Motherwell agrees to join in the summer, as does James Penrice from Livingston. So these took us a bit by surprise, didn't they, Scott? I didn't see these coming at all when suddenly we had two transfers confirmed. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I think the Blair Spittle one definitely seemed to come out of the blue. There'd been little rumours and murmurs regarding Penrice, and
that is true. There were some Penrice.
I think when you consider Alex Cochrane's contract situation that's upcoming, I think it was always going to be likely that we're going to be looking to fill that position at some stage over the summer. The Spittle one was definitely out of the blue. I think St Mirren fans felt that they were in pole position. I think they felt that the deal was more or less done. Looking at some of the social media activity in the sort of couple of weeks prior to us sort of signing them. So good deals. I mean, I think you can never guarantee anything when it comes to transfers, especially at this level of football. But I think when you're bringing in players from your own league, you're mitigating that risk. You're reducing that slightly. So I think it's sound business from the club. When you consider especially that Danda and Spittle over the years have hurt us on a few occasions, it takes away threats from other teams as well. So it's good for a number of reasons, and it'll be interesting to see how they find their place in the squad, because I would imagine there's probably going to be quite a lot of outgoings this summer compared to the last couple of years. So although we've been quite proactive in bringing in free bodies already, I would imagine there's still going to be a lot of activity over the summer months as well.
So Blair Spittle, 28 last two seasons at Motherwell, arguably having his best season this campaign. Only Danny Armstrong and Matt O'Reilly in the Premiership have registered more assists. That's 9 that Spittle has got. You've come up against them, Ryan. What are your thoughts on Blair Spittle?
Played with him at Dundee United when he was just just a young boy when he was coming through. A little connection for you. I know you like your connections.
I do.
Again, he's done well. Like what Scott said, he knows the league. He's played for a few different clubs. I feel like this season he's added his sort of finishing product, I guess you could probably call it. That's maybe been something that's been directed at him throughout his career when he was sort of coming through and at Ross County and stuff like that. So, you know, he's definitely added goals and assists. He's got that added quality, I guess, in the final third, which is what you've want from your sort of midfielders, you know, to be able to carry a goal threat. And I think it's a very good bit of business from Hearts in terms of, you know, again, I think we've touched on it before. I know that Mark loves it, is, you know, taking some of the best players at the other clubs and bringing them into Hearts is always a good thing. You know, he's done really well this season, and hopefully he can kick on in a bigger platform as such at Hearts, and, you know, with the European football and playing at Tynecastle every week, I'm sure it's one that he's really looking forward to.
How many months ago was it, Laurie, that we spoke about this? Not specific players, but just the some snobbery among some about, oh no, we can't be going for teams that are lesser than supposedly us and getting their players. And we kind of said, hey, just cherry pick the best ones if they become available. And I love that. I love that we've signed these players. Again, going back to something that Robbie Nielsen was saying when I was down in Tampa, he says it's so different when you're playing European games on a Thursday night and then you come back, especially if it's away from home. I mean, take the Fiorentina game, for example. It's hard. You're playing again on the Sunday, and he would just have loved a bigger squad. And that was one of the lessons, if he'd stayed in place, that he would have asked for a kind of bigger squad. If you are competing in Europe, and sometimes we want quality over quantity. In this case, I think it's quality and quantity, because there's so much goes into a Thursday night game, just from a mental perspective as well, and getting yourself up for a game. And at times it can feel like after the Lord Mayor's Show, if you've got an away game in front of just a few thousand, when you've played in front of 20,000 or more away from home on a Thursday. And it's fresh legs as well. So, yeah, I think both Scott and Ryan are right. We will see players go in the summer. How many, I don't know. There'll be those whose contracts expire and they will just move on. And there'll be those that will probably be sold or will look to be sold as well to raise some money. So, yeah, I think as long as we can bring in more than we let go, I think we'll be in a good position for Europe next season.
On Blair Spittle, best position, because he's been fairly versatile this season. He's played across a few positions. I think if you speak to Motherwell fans, they'll probably tend to say playing him centrally as a number 10, I'd imagine, would be best role, or in a central position rather than coming in from out wide.
Yeah, potentially, although what I would say about all three of the signings that we've made over the last couple of months, it points to Stephen Naismith wanting a lot of versatile players. You know, Penrice can play both, you know, left, right, fullback. He can actually fill in at centre midfield. He's done that when he was at Partick Thistle previously as a youngster. I think Spittle has played wing-back this season. He's played a 10 role. He's actually played from a deeper role in midfield as well. And he's, I think when he was younger, Ryan could probably point to this, he played on the wing quite a lot as well. And Jan Danda also, as you've seen from that recent Ross County Hearts game, is just as adept playing from a deeper position than what he is in the natural number 10 role as well. So there's clearly, you can see what he's, you know, Stephen Naismith has tried to do with the likes of Alex Cochrane this season, Cammy Devlin, Aidan Denham. He's trying to add, you know, strings to the bow of players. I don't think he's wanting players to just sort of be reduced to just one role that they can play. And he himself is, you know, switched systems and formations either game by game or half by half basis. So I think what these signings represent is definitely a willingness to continue with that in terms of making sure that he's got players that can fill in on a number of occasions in positions. With Spittle, it depends. I think 10 would be his natural position, but I do think he could also play a little bit deeper. It just depends on whether we go with the three. I think if we've got the three at the back, then I'm not sure he could play in a deeper position. You probably need that number six in there. But if you're maybe going with a four, you could maybe, you know, play Ewenhoff maybe in a deeper position and have Spittle playing alongside him. But it'll be interesting to see nevertheless.
Ryan, you've come up against James Penrice as well. I know he actually got a couple of goals against St Johnstone last season. I have to say, when I've seen him, he stood out to me at times for getting forward. You know, getting forward in a wing-back role, or often maybe push forward into midfield, taking players on, getting the ball into the box, seemed to have a decent bit of pace about him. Defensively, I'm not too sure. I've not watched an awful lot of him, but he is playing in a very struggling Livingston side. I don't know if you've seen enough of him to get much of a picture of Penrice, and if he's someone at 25... could make the step up to be a regular at Hearts?
Yeah, I've not seen a huge amount of him. Obviously played against him a few times, and he's probably come class as that sort of modern day fullback. What I did notice was he was very good in 1v1 situations, which is something that you really want from your fullback in this day and age, because a lot of teams like to play expansive and you kind of left in that 1v1 situations a lot. So that's something that I remember, you know, having played against them. It was very rare, or very rare occasions that you got beat in a 1v1 situation. So that's probably something that Hearts have looked at. And again, he's a good age. He knows the league. He'll see this as a massive opportunity for him to go on. And I think that's what fans want, is they want players to come to Hearts with a bit of hunger, with a bit of desire to, you know, understand, you know, first of all, what a big club it is, and second of all, that those kind of demands that come with being at a big club. So, yeah, I'm excited to see those two players and how they go next season. And like you said, I think when you're having to juggle European football and then coming back and playing in the league, sometimes those players that have played week in, week out, they'll know, you know, the difficult places to go. They'll know what's expected of them. And, yeah, I think it just makes the overall squad a lot stronger.
And finally, the last bit of business was to secure Kenneth Vargas on a permanent deal. We know Hearts had an option to sign Kenneth Vargas permanently from Herediano in his native Costa Rica, and that has been confirmed on a 5-year contract. Hearts' second top scorer this season, 7 goals and 3 assists across all competitions. I think this is one that we did expect, didn't we, Mark? I think, given his impact and how well he settled for someone who's still very young.
Yeah, I read an article that Barry Anderson had written today in the Evening News about why it was a 5-year deal, and it makes total sense. And Stephen Naismith with the quotes to Barry, he was saying that he maybe played a bit more than he would have liked at the start of the season due to whatever circumstances occurred. But he's been very happy with the way that he is integrated. He's very raw as well. Get him on a finishing course just after training, just stick him outside, just one-on-ones, and it's raw and it's a project. But it's a project that isn't for the future. It's also for the present. And I think the fans love him. And he wants to be here. This is a big step up. I work with a number of people that used to be in Central America as well. And to move to the United States, to move to the United Kingdom, to move to Europe, that's a big thing for them. And it's not the be-all and end-all. And Hearts for him will not be, right, I've made it, I'm at Hearts. He'll have that kind of, I want to play at the top level. We've seen on his Instagram, we've seen him go to Spain to watch Real Madrid games and post about them and how much he enjoyed doing that. And that's something, he's closer to doing that by being in Europe. But that, going to watch Real Madrid and having that aim to kind of one day be at the level where he might even be considered for a move to the continent or to La Liga. This isn't about Kenneth Vargas being content that Hearts is the final journey for him. This is about Hearts benefiting if Kenneth Vargas ends up somewhere like La Liga or the Premier League. And we've guaranteed that we're going to get plenty money for him if that is the case over the next 2 or 3 years. So I think it's a great bit of business all round.
Yeah, I think I'd be fairly pleased with that one. I have an email here actually just on player contracts. And, you know, I always say when we get an email, I generally like to try and get to it. I'll run this by you guys, see what you think. It's from Rory Mackay, who says, "Hi guys, hope you're all well. With the news of Craig Halkett once again set to undergo surgery, I was having a chat with some mates about his recent contract renewal, which will see him remain as one of the top earners at the club. When fit, I think Halkett is one of our best defenders. However, the injuries over the last few years have been monumental, and since the COVID season, these are the percent of matches he's played in." He says 21-22, 37 of 48, 77%. 22-23, 8 of 50, 16%, 23-24, 11 of 40. So far the season will be lower after the rest of the campaign, 28%. I do not believe that he should have received a contract renewal, and I think the Hearts as a club have been somewhat naive in offering such a lucrative deal to a player who arguably brings very little value to the club. Would love to hear your thoughts on this. Cheers, Brody. Scott, you want to start us off? What do you think of Brody's thoughts?
You take this grenade, Scotty.
There's an element of recency bias in that summation. I think if you were to speak to majority of Hearts fans round about December time when he came back, I think they would have been quite happy at him signing a new contract. I think he's been really unlucky. He's missed quite a lot of game time for Hearts. I would say 3 out of the 5 years that he's been here, but the majority of them have all been different injuries. It's not like he's continually breaking down with the same type of injury. I just think he's been unfortunate, but I can certainly understand why the club wanted to tie him down to another deal. And I still can't see, I still think there's good reason to think that could still work out to be a good deal for both parties. I do think there's a little bit of knee-jerk and recency bias in that. But hey-ho, I suppose, you know, we'll find out in time whether it has worked out for us or not.
It is a tough one though, isn't it, Mark? Because, you know, you often see clubs talk about wanting players to show loyalty if they've been injured and a club helps them through recuperation. And say they come back and they start playing well, you know, fans often say, you know, should show loyalty and sign a new deal, but fans then equally often say, if a player has been out, should the club give them a contract? And I guess the player would look at that from the angle of, well, maybe the club would show a bit of loyalty. But I can get both sides of it. I like Craig Halkett. I wasn't disappointed that we gave him a new deal, I have to say. Maybe by the end of the deal, we could think differently, but that's hindsight. I don't know how you feel about it. I think we've seen enough from him at times that he is a player worth having around in the squad, and hopefully, I'd imagine we'll be working very hard with him to make sure he does come back, and hopefully we see him back playing maybe 80% of games like he did a couple of seasons ago.
Yeah, it's probably going to be next season now to get him back available after the operation. Hopefully he gets a full pre-season under his belt and is back available. Like we've said before about not seeing what happens in training, I mean, Ryan will have seen things at training that none of the fans know about that has impacted Craig Levein's selection at the weekend. And for Craig Halka, it's not so much what's happened in training, it's what's in his deal and how it's structured. We don't know that. We know he's been given a new deal, but we don't know if there's incentives in there, if there's clauses in there to do with injuries or whatever. So, yeah, you didn't hear many people grumbling at the time. It's always easy, and Scott's talking about recency bias as well. At the time, I thought it was fine. I've got no issue with that. I was hoping that he signed a new deal, Craig Gordon signed a new deal, and Benny Benigamy signed a new deal. We're two out of three. We're waiting for one. Whether that happens, I don't know. But he's 28 years old, Craig Halka. He turns 29 in May. So if he can get a decent pre-season, hopefully it's nothing too serious with this current injury, if he can get a decent pre-season under his belt and kick start, I think it leaves us with a decent headache. Because Ryan was talking earlier about Kai Rolls playing at left back for his country. If Alex Cochrane moves on and we've got James Penrice, then is it Kai Rolls and him battling for centre backs? At left back, if we've got Frankie Kent, Stephen Kingsley, Craig Halkett battling away for the centre. I just want competition for places back, and I just want Craig Halkett back. But we can't rush him back, and hopefully if it takes time, it takes time. But I'm not going to now say I don't think it was the right decision when I had no issues with it when the contract was announced to begin with.
I think that's about all the news that we've had from Hearts in terms of signings. We'll see if any more come in. I wanted to put a little homework question that popped up in my head there. Best and worst bits of sensible business Hearts have done within Scotland down the years. So that's the deals that's a sensible deal, signing someone. Well,
Mallory Martin's one of the best deals that we've done.
Okay, well, not that one.
That goes at the other end. Yes. Allowing Ryan McGowan to go, I mean, that was one of the worst things that we did. He should still be there.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, within Scotland.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mean in just players that we've brought
in? Yeah, so I mean, signings we've made from other Scottish teams that seem sensible.
Paul Hartley.
Best
Cameron.
Yeah, I don't want you to listen just now. I'm asking, I'm putting it out there. We can talk about it next time. We can get into a bit more depth. Don't just throw names at me.
I'll make a list.
Yeah, we'll talk about signings we've made.
Gordon.
Sensible. I'm just shouting names at me now. Right, tweet us at Around the Funnel, or you can email podcast@scarvesaroundthefunnel.co.uk. Let's move on. You're listening to Scarves Around the Funnel, sponsored by Forest Hepburn and McDonald Signs, who have been offering creative sign and print solutions since the 1950s.
Are you agitated now?
Mark Donaldson is trying to make
the reprobates.
Up for the fact
I wasn't here last week.
Able to agitate me last week and Ailey Doyle is such a professional that everything just flowed smoothly.
She was best behaved,
organized.
Yep.
This week we're back to the chaos. We're gonna move on, and we're gonna finish off by talking about Kilmarnock. Hearts back in action this weekend. It's third against fourth in this Scottish Premiership. Potentially, yeah. It's an 11-point gap just now. We joke about it, but after last season, if Kilmarnock come to win at the weekend, I might start to getting a bit antsy. Hearts off the back of a 2-1 defeat to Ross County. Killy, having come back from 2 down to win 5-2 against St Mirren with that incredible 5 goals in an 18-minute spell. Hearts unbeaten in 7 at home. Killy without a win in 5 away. However, Kilmarnock have a ridiculous away record against Hearts in recent times, with Hearts having just 1 win in their last 9 home games against the Ayrshire club. And Killy have won 6 of those matches, including one at Murrayfield. What are we feeling like about this one? I'm not going to let Mark start us because he's been grating on me. So, Scott, are we feeling confident Hearts are going to get back to winning ways after the disappointment of Dingwall?
Yeah, I think we should be confident. It's the incentives there to more or less cement third spot. You know, Saturday we could either see ourselves potentially 8 points in front or we could be 14. So I do think there's a good incentive there. A lot of the players have been away on international duty, so there should be a reasonable amount of confidence amongst the squad as well. We've got players coming back from injury. I think Ewenhoff should probably be back. Barry Mackay might be in contention, maybe within the squad as well. So I think there's a lot to be confident about. I think Kilmarnock's away form has been a lot better this season than what it was last season. So I think prior to that Aberdeen Cup game, I think they'd only lost maybe 1-8 away from home. So they have certainly improved in terms of their away form. I think it's always pretty... people tend to associate Kilmarnock with being a really strong home team and not really focusing on our away form. But what I would say is against Aberdeen, they were definitely not at the races that day, and I think there's an opportunity if we start the game brightly, which again has been a bit of a sticky issue for the team throughout the season. Even when we've had a really good run of form, we've still been sort of... you know, late to the party. We've not really been starting games all that great. So I think that's something we need to focus on Saturday, but I'm confident we can get 3 points.
Ryan, what do you expect from Kilmarnock on Saturday? Big Kyle Vassell, you got Danny Armstrong supplying. Do you think they'll be looking to muscle in and maybe ruffle Hearts' feathers playing the break a little?
Yeah, I think so. I think McInnes always has his team set up to play that kind of way, even when he was at Aberdeen, that was kind of always the style of play that he wanted to do. And he's got a team that does that. He's got very dangerous wingers who all understand exactly how they want to play and or how they should play there. And yeah, I think they are a very good team, and one that if Hearts don't start well, Kilmarnock are a very big confidence team. You see that with their last game. When they are on top, they do tend to take their chances, and I think they'll cause Hearts a few problems at the weekend, but I think Hearts have been so good at home this season, so I do see Hearts winning, but I do think it'll be a really, really tricky game. And I think it's one that with Kilmarnock, the way that they play and their strengths is probably Hearts' biggest weakness in terms of, you know, their wingers getting at fullbacks. Hearts have had issues at fullback all season, getting balls into the box, having a big physical striker that can ruffle up the sort of Hearts centre backs. They're all issues that Hearts have had this season. So, yeah, it's going to be a very interesting game to watch from a neutral point of view, being a St. Johnson player. But, one that with Hearts being at home, I think that there'll be slight favourites going into it.
You confident, Mr. Donaldson?
Yeah. I think we put it to bed if we win. If St. Mirren don't win their game at Motherwell, then Hearts have opened up a 14-point lead with only, eight games to go after that. I was looking at Hearts' results after international breaks this season. Weirdly, the three games following the international breaks have all been played at Tynecastle. 2-0 win over Aberdeen back in September, 4-1 defeat at home to Celtic in October, and a 1-0 win over Ryan St. Johnston in November. So we've done all right in the games that we were expected to do well in. Kilmarnock is an interesting one because up until Kyle Vassell pulled one back against St Mirren, they were 2-0 down at home to St Mirren. They'd lost the previous game 3-1 at Aberdeen. They'd drawn at Dundee 2-2 prior to that, needed a last-minute goal when they had 10 men to rescue a point, and they'd lost to Rangers, so they were in a bit of a slump. But they turned it around with a scintillating 20-minute spell that saw them score 5 goals. I like what he's done. I mean, it's funny, if Derek McInnes had never have been at Aberdeen, would Derek McInnes been looked at by Aberdeen now as someone that might be their next manager? Of course, that ain't going to happen because he's been there and he wouldn't go back and they wouldn't take him back. But I think he's just done, Ryan said it as well, he's done a really good job at Kilmarnock. They'll be a tough side and their tactics will be interesting because this is probably going to be their best chance. They know they're going to be playing Hearts twice. once after the split, once before the split. So one of them's going to be at Rugby Park, which they'll hope to take 3 points. So I think this is a must-not-lose for Kilmarnock. Whether they come and defend, I'm not sure. But I think I think this will be a really good game this weekend. But if Hearts win it, for me, it's done and dusted. And hopefully, if that's the case, we can have it wrapped up third spot by the time of the split.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to go right in there with the score line.
Okay.
The same score that is the only win we've had against Kilmarnock at home in those last 9 games. It was also the score that Hearts recorded on Big Hearts Day last year when they defeat Dundee United and Stephen Humphrey scored a ridiculous goal. I'm going to go Hearts 3, Kilmarnock 1. And I'm going to say Shankland will score. He's going to shake off those international blues for the Blues. And back in Maroon, you'll bury a chance when it comes along. What do you think, Scott? Scoreline, goal scorer.
I'm going to say 3-0 Hearts. And I think Shankland will get a couple.
Nice. Mr. McGowan, throw one out there.
I'm going to go 2-1 Hearts, and I'm going to say that Kilmarnock score first.
Okay. Very specific. Yeah. Anyone in particular going to get on a score sheet for the men in maroon?
Vargas, my favourite.
Vargas, your pal. You had to go for him, didn't you?
My buddy old pal.
Through gritted teeth. What about you, Mr. Donaldson?
1-0 Hearts, Shankland.
Bit more cautious. Yeah, bit boring.
I don't care if it's boring. I think it'll be that type of game. I don't expect Hearts to go gung-ho. We've seen we're not quick starters. We've seen we don't score many goals in the first half. That Lawrence Shankland goal against... When was it? It was Lawrence Shankland's penalty against Hibs. But then we got the George Grant goal in the first half as well. So I think it will be cagey. I think it'll be a good game, but I don't think it'll have many goals in it. So 1-0 Shankland.
Ryan, big game for the Saints against Dundee. You obviously got Ross County breathing down your necks after Hearts couldn't do a favour last time out. Ross County in that big game against Aberdeen. You're hoping to not only do yourselves a favour, but both you and Scott's sons will be cheering you on to try and keep the Hibbies in the top 6.
Yeah, I have had a few Hibs mates message me to say that they need us to win at the weekend. But yeah, it's a big game for us. Being at home with results not going our way last week. And also, I think Ross County, they have Aberdeen. And they have, I think it's Kilmarnock away and Rangers. So, yeah, you know, if you're looking at it from our point of view, it's an opportunity for us to get some points on the board, albeit being at home, and then trying to get that little bit of breathing space going into the sort of bottom 6 in those playoff games. So, you want to try and get as many points on the board at home, and yeah, it is a massive game in terms of our season, and one that, you know, we should, fingers crossed, get the win at the weekend.
Well, hopefully we get a St Johnstone and Heart of Midlothian double on Saturday. That would be enjoyable for everyone. Whatever happens, we'll be back next week to discuss it. In the meantime, you can get in touch with us on Twitter at Around the Funnel, or you can email podcast@scarvesaroundthefunnel.co.uk. We're all shaking off those international blues. It's back to club football. Until next time, thanks for tuning in.
Don't wish it away, don't look at it like it's forever. Between you and me, I could honestly say that things can only get better. Before you and me run, the place in our hearts, where we hide. And I guess that
just stare into space. Picture my face.